Make yourself small, bro. I don't know what's going on. Get down, guys. Get down. Yeah, just get down. Get behind this tree with me. Get behind this tree.
Get behind this tree, guys. No.
I'm just safe back here.
Yeah, here.
You can pick that dude off.
Did they pick him off?
Yeah, I saw a big poop of hair go up in the air.
Oh.
Big poop of hair.
Have you headshot?
Kill confirmed, he said.
He said kill confirmed?
He said kill confirmed.
Welcome to The End of Innocence, the JFK assassination. I'm your host, John Young. I said last week that I was not going to do another podcast about the assassination attempt of ex-President Donald Trump, but things just keep getting stranger and stranger. More videos surfaced this week that literally shows the shooter running across the roof of the AGR building just moments before the shooting and nothing got done about it. Ray Charles could have seen Thomas Crooks up there on the building, but yet our Secret Service either didn't see him or chose to look the other way.
We do have some new video moments before the Donald Trump shooting, and it's actually video that was taken by one of the victims in this attack. Again, this video from James Copenhaver, one of the victims critically wounded in the July 13th assassination attempt against former President Trump, shows a figure moving across the roof of the American Glass Research building there, the AGR building, just minutes before the gunfire rang out at a Trump's rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. In the video taken at 6:08 p.m. on July 13th there, so just 3 minutes before this shooting, the person appears on the roof of the building adjacent to where Trump is speaking and can be seen walking. Officials believe the gunman, Thomas Crooks, who was 20, began shooting with a collapsible AR-15 style rifle 3 minutes later around 6:11 p.m. Counter snipers fatally shot Crooks shortly afterwards, and law enforcement officials found 8 shell casings near his body there. You see that figure moving alongside that roof, and that is what police are now continuing to investigate with this new video. It always seems like every day there's a new update or a new video that emerges, but this one was also big because it includes the video from James Copenhaver, one of the victims, just moments before this shooting, less than 3 minutes to go before the shooting rang out, and how history was almost changed forever there.
As many of you know that have listened to my over 70 podcasts now, it ran my book, The End of Innocence. I'm 110% convinced that John F. Kennedy was killed as a result of conspiracy. I've spent over 35 years researching the Kennedy case, more money and time than I could ever count, and have found answers in black and white that tell me that Lee Harvey Oswald not only didn't shoot President Kennedy that awful day in Dallas, but he was not even near the sniper's nest when the shooting occurred. But when it comes to this event on July 13th, I've said from day one that I do not believe it was a conspiracy to take out the ex-president, but rather a very disturbed young man that for whatever reason wanted to change history that day. I feel like if the government wanted to take out Donald Trump, they would have used someone other than a 20-year-old kid with his daddy's gun. As I told my son last week, if they wanted Trump dead, he would be dead right now, just like Kennedy. A former classmate of Crooks told ABC News that he tried out for the high school rifle team but, quote, shot terrible and wasn't really fit for the rifle team, end quote. Doesn't sound like someone the government would use for an assassination attempt, does it? So what explains the catastrophic failures with security at the rally? The public has very little idea thus far. The shooting stands as a disaster of stunning proportions for the Secret Service, whose director, Kimberly Cheadle, resigned a couple weeks ago under intense bipartisan pressure. The overachieving question of the security failure already encompasses a long and troubling list of specific issues. How could the Secret Service not secure a rooftop that was within shooting range and had clear sight lines to Trump? How could the attacker have flown a drone over the rally location just 2 hours before Trump took the stage? Why was Trump allowed to keep speaking at the podium, even after the Secret Service and its law enforcement partners were aware of Crooks' suspicious behavior, and then even after countersnipers had him in their sights? These questions are just scratching the surface. Quote, I'm not going to get into specifics of the day, Cheadle said during her congressional hearing. All she kept saying was it's an ongoing investigation. Quote, there was a plan in place to provide Overwatch, and we are still looking into responsibilities, end quote. Numerous podcasts like this one and many books are sure to be written in the months and years ahead of this epic fiasco. So is there any clearer picture yet of the shooter's motive? The answer is no. FBI Director Christopher Wray this week again reiterated the lack of any clear motive, even after extensive FBI investigation. That could still change, but it would be extraordinary, to say the least, to go from no indication of a motive 2 weeks after the event of this magnitude to a clear one. As we talked about last week, the deceased perpetrator, 20-year-old Thomas Matthew Crooks, appears to have left behind little indication of any political views or his mindset ahead of the attack, according to the FBI and a flurry of media reporting. He was a registered Republican voter, but also made a small donation to a liberal political group and came from a mixed political household. This lack of a motive is particularly important in light of all the conspiracy theories that have filled the void. Indeed, there is a distinct possibility that we may never have a clear picture of what drove Crooks, who also searched online, according to investigators, for information about President Biden's appearances, the Democratic National Convention, and major depression disorder. Ultimately, a thorough investigation of this case may show, as with many assassination attempts in modern history, that political ideology was not a driving factor. It is quite possible that Crooks was suicidal and wanted to go out in a blaze of infamy, an act that has grown more common among disturbed and desperate young men, as I discussed on this podcast last week. In an article published in the New York Post on Friday, August 2nd, Republican Senator from Missouri Josh Hawley, citing a whistleblower, said the acting director of the Secret Service, quote, personally directed significant cuts, end quote, to threat assessment teams ahead of the assassination attempt against President Trump. Acting Director of the Secret Service, Ronald Rowe, publicly denied the allegation at a press conference Friday afternoon, saying, quote, I did not, end quote. For anyone out there that may ask what a whistleblower is, its definition is it is a person who informs on a person or organization engaged in an illicit activity. Senator Hawley, who clashed with Rowe at an oversight hearing last Tuesday about the near assassination debacle, published the whistleblower's claim in a public letter to the agency chief Friday morning. Quote, a whistleblower has alleged to my office that the Secret Service Counter-Surveillance Division, the CSD, the division that performs threat assessment of event sites before the event occurs, did not perform its typical evaluation of the Butler site and was not present on the day, end quote. Hawley goes on to say, quote, this is significant because CSD's duties include evaluating potential security threats outside the security perimeter and mitigating those threats during the event, end quote. The whistleblower claims that if personnel from CSD had been present at the rally, the gunman would have been handcuffed in the parking lot after being spotted with a rangefinder. Hawley then goes on to say, quote, the whistleblower furtherly alleges that you personally directed significant cuts to CSD, up to and including reducing the division's manpower by 20%. You did not mention this in your Senate testimony when asked directly to explain manpower reductions, end quote. Ronald Rowe, the acting Secret Service Director, called the shooting, quote, a failure on multiple levels, end quote. Rowe has led the agency since former Director Kimberly Cheadle weaseled out and resigned over the event disaster in which one crowdgoer was shot dead, two more wounded, and former President Trump was grazed on his right ear. I wanted to play this for those who didn't get a chance to listen to Senator Josh Hawley absolutely raking actor director of the Secret Service, Ronald Rowe, over the coals at the oversight hearing last Tuesday.
Senator Hawley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Rowe, can you put your first poster, your first demonstrative back up?
Please put A up, please.
Let's make sure everybody can see it. This is the photograph, I believe, that you took, your team took of the roof, the AGR roof. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, so from this vantage point, as the law enforcement who are in those windows, as they look left, they should be able to see the shooter clearly there on the AGR second floor roof. My question is, why is there not a Secret Service counter sniper on that roof?
So, Senator, we're when we post up, our methodology is to look at things that can see in on our protectees so that they can provide that coverage.
But why is there not a Secret Service counter sniper there with clear line of sight? That roof has a clear line of sight to the former president. Why didn't you put a Secret Service counter sniper there?
The Secret Service's counter sniper role is to neutralize those threats that are looking in on us from where the protectee is, not necessarily
in this position. You think maybe you might want to revise that protocol in light of what happened here?
They were protecting the principal, and I think
the principal got shot.
I understand that, sir.
So do you think you might want to revise the protocol? Let me ask you this. Who is the lead site agent who made the decision to leave the AGR building completely outside of the security perimeter? Who was that?
Senator, I cannot give you that name. This person is operational. They're still doing investigations. They're still doing protective visits.
Have they been relieved of duty?
Senator, they have not been relieved
of
duty.
I know their name, by the way. Why have they not been relieved of duty?
They are still cooperating, not only being interviewed by the FBI, but also by our Office of Professional Responsibility. And we will let the facts of the mission assurance and any further investigations play out.
Isn't the fact that a former president was shot, that a good American is dead, that other Americans were critically wounded, isn't that enough mission failure for you to say that the person who decided that that building should not be in the security perimeter probably ought to be stepped down?
Senator, I think you're using the word decided, and I think we need to allow the investigation play out to include...
So who did make the decision then? If it wasn't the lead site agent, who made the decision not to put that in the security perimeter?
Senator, you're zeroing in on one particular agent. I want to find out exactly what was the entire decision process. So I think I want to be neutral and make sure that we get to the bottom of it and interview everybody in order to determine if there was more than one person who perhaps exercised bad judgment.
Well, sure. My question is, why don't you relieve everybody of duty who made bad judgment? So, yeah, you're right. I am zeroing in on somebody. I'm trying to find somebody who's accountable here. You're telling me that the person who made the decision not to include this in the perimeter has not been relieved of duty. What about the person who is in charge of the interoperability of radio frequencies between local law enforcement and Secret Service? Has that person been relieved of duty?
No, Senator, because interoperability is a challenge, is a greater challenge than just one person. On that day, we had a counterpart system. It failed spectacularly.
Has the person who made the decision to send Donald Trump onto stage knowing that you had a security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir, they haven't.
Has the person who decided not to pull the former president off of stage when you knew that, in your words, the locals were working a serious security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir. Again, I refer you back to my original answer that we are investigating this through a mission assurance. And as opposed to zeroing in on one,
what more do you need
to
investigate to know
exactly what the decision-making process
was? What more do you need to investigate to know that there were critical enough failures that some individuals ought to be held accountable? I mean, what more do you need to know?
What I need to know is exactly what happened, and I need my investigators to do their job. And I cannot.
A lot of people didn't do their jobs.
I cannot put my thumb on the scale, otherwise.
What do you mean, put your thumb on the scale?
You're asking me, Senator, to completely make a rush to judgment about somebody failing. I acknowledge this was a failure of the
Secret
Service.
Is it not prima facie that somebody has failed? A former president was shot.
Sir, this could have been our Texas school book depository. I have lost sleep over that for the last 17 days, just like you have.
Then fire somebody to hold them accountable.
I will tell you, Senator, that I will not rush to judgment, that people will be held accountable, and I will do so with integrity. And not rush to judgment and put people unfairly persecuted. Unfairly,
we got people who are
we
dead.
We have to be able to have a proper investigation into this, Senator.
You said earlier that you've got to make sure that your protocols are followed, and unless there's a protocol violation, people wouldn't be disciplined. I would just say to you, I don't really care that much about your protocols. I think if your protocols don't provide for the fact that when a former president is shot, when an American is killed, when other rally goers, innocent people who just showed up on the day, when they are shot at and critically wounded, if that isn't a protocol violation, prima facie, you should revise your protocols.
Senator, I think this is where you and I agree. This was a failure, and we will get to the bottom of it.
Well, I hope you're going to do something about it. Let me ask you something else. The Real Clear Politics reports this morning that you were directly involved in denying additional security resources and personnel, including counter snipers, not just to this event, but over the last 2 years that President Trump's team repeatedly asked for these additional resources, and you personally were involved in denying them. Is that true?
Senator, as I stated earlier, that is not true.
So you never denied any resources to former President Trump's team?
No, not me. No, sir.
And you weren't, and you weren't involved in any of that? You were never involved in the decision making.
No, sir, I was not.
Let me ask you just one or two other things here quickly. Whistleblowers tell me that, in fact, law enforcement were stationed to be on that roof and that law enforcement abandoned their post because it was too hot. Is that accurate?
Senator, I have heard that as well. They posted up inside. And I think moving forward, as I said earlier, we're going to ensure that state and local counter snipers are on roofs.
But do you know if someone was supposed to be on the roof? Do you know if someone was in fact? That's what the whistleblowers tells me. That may or may not be accurate. Do you know that to be the fact? Was somebody posted to the roof, local law enforcement or whomever?
I do not know that to be a fact.
Well, can I ask you why you don't know that?
Again, Senator, we are looking at this, and they should have been on that roof. And the fact that they were in the building is something that I'm still trying to understand.
I just want to express my frustration, Director, that 17 days or whatever it's been, that whistleblowers are telling us more than you are, and you don't know. You haven't ascertained if there was supposed to be law enforcement on the roof. That seems like a pretty basic fact. I'm also told that local law enforcement suppliers offered the Secret Service drones, and you declined them. Is that true?
So, Senator, I've been very transparent and forthcoming.
Your agency has not been transparent and forthcoming, so please, let's not go there.
I have been forthcoming, sir.
That remains to be seen. You've been on the job a few days. So far, you fired nobody. Now, the drones.
Thank you,
sir. Were you offered drones?
Senator Hogan.
So there was an offer to fly a drone on that day.
And why did you deny it?
I think the ability of local law enforcement to provide an asset, we probably should have taken them up on it if it was offered.
Republican U.S. Senator from Texas Ted Cruz accused the U.S. Secret Service on Tuesday of making a political motivated decision to deny former President Donald Trump extra security, exposing him to an assassination attempt during his campaign rally in Pennsylvania. Cruz says, quote, "I believe the Secret Service leadership made a political decision to deny these requests," end quote. Cruz has also previously blamed Secret Service's efforts to diversify its rank for distracting the agency from its core mission of protecting officials. During a podcast he released 2 weeks ago after the Butler shooting, Cruz criticized the agency for its efforts to have 30% of agents be women by 2030. Here's Senator Ted Cruz getting a piece of Director Roe at the hearing last week. This is even better than Senator Hawley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Roe, thank you for being here. I agree with what you said at the outset, that the individual Secret Service agents demonstrated remarkable personal courage, putting their bodies in between the line of sight of the shooter and the president. That being said, the bravery of the line agents is quite different from the decisions of Secret Service leadership. Secret Service leadership committed catastrophic security failures. Indeed, the worst security failures for the Secret Service since 1981, since the attempted assassination of President Ronald Reagan. It is incumbent upon this committee to determine why those security failures happened. Just after the shooting, Secret Service put out an official statement from your spokesperson that says there's an untrue assertion that a member of the former president's team requested additional security resources and that those were rebuffed. This is absolutely false. In fact, we added protective resources and technology and capabilities as part of the increased campaign travel tempo. Was this tweet accurate?
With respect to Butler, Pennsylvania, it is accurate, sir.
It is accurate that the Trump team had not asked for additional security and had not been rebuffed.
If you're talking about Butler, Pennsylvania, all assets requested were approved. If you're talking about the media reporting of assets requested, there were times when assets were unavailable and not able to be filled, and those gaps were staffed with state and local law enforcement tactical assets.
So I'm reading from the Washington Post, July 20th, 2024. Secret Service said to have denied requests for more security at Trump events. The opening paragraph, top officials of the U.S. Secret Service repeatedly denied requests for additional resources and personnel sought by Donald Trump's security detail in the 2 years leading up to his attempted assassination, according to four people familiar with the requests. Is that right, that repeatedly the Trump detail asked for more resources and repeatedly Secret Service leadership turned that down?
That is not accurate, Senator. Assets are requested. There's a process that is made.
How many requests did the Trump team or the Trump detail ask for?
I can get you that number in a queue.
You don't know now.
So I can speak to the ones that reported in the Washington Post, and we can go through them if you like.
But you don't know how many requests there were.
in general, how many requests since 2021 that the former Trump detail has made a request for assets?
You've had 2 weeks. You had a spokesperson put something out that is false on its face. By the way, did you approve this statement when it went out?
I don't know if I did or didn't, Senator.
As this spokesperson, is he still employed? Does he still have a job?
He is still employed, Senator.
So he lied on behalf of the Secret Service. He still has a job. Did your predecessor, the former director, does she approve this statement?
Senator, our comms team, they send out statements. They do deconflict them and they put them out.
Did she approve this statement?
I don't know if she did or did not, Senator.
And you don't know if you did either?
I don't recall approving it, Senator.
Will you commit to provide this committee in writing every written request for additional resources from the Trump campaign or the Trump detail and every response from Secret Service?
Senator, I will commit to providing responses and getting you the information that you are seeking.
Let me ask you something. And who makes the decision to deny those requests? Did you make that decision?
Which requests? Are you talking about the ones that were in the Washington Post?
Yes.
The process, sir, is that a detail will make a request for either staffing, technical assets, that is handled between the field office and the detail. It goes up to a logistics office between our
Okay, so there's a bureaucracy. Is there a decision maker?
It's not a bureaucracy, Senator.
Give me the person that's a decision maker. Is there one?
Senator, it's a conversation. It's not just an absolute yay or nay.
So let me tell you what I believe. I believe that the Secret Service leadership made a political decision to deny these requests. And I think the Biden administration has been suffused with partisan politics. Did the same person who denied the request for additional security to President Trump also repeatedly deny the request for security to Robert F. Kennedy Jr., whose father was murdered by an assassin and whose uncle was murdered by an assassin? Did the same person make that decision?
Senator, what I will tell you is that Secret Service agents are not political.
Okay, you're not answering my question. But you know what? Leadership appointed by the president is political. I have a simple question, yes or no. Did the same person deny the Trump request that also denied the RFK request? That's a yes or no question.
Senator, that is not a yes or no question. One, there is a process for a candidate nominee to receive protection.
Is it a bicameral bipartisan process? What camera?
For a candidate,
you don't have a camera.
Mr. Kennedy submitted a request that was referred over to the CPAC.
Okay, you're refusing to answer the question. Let me ask, because the failures on that day were catastrophic. By the way, is it true that on the day of the Butler event that Secret Service transferred agent from President Trump to the First Lady?
No, sir, that's not true.
That's been widely reported.
It's not true. There was one airport agent that actually went on the manpower request for the Trump detail. They handled the arrival at the airport.
What was the relative size of the Trump detail compared to the detail that is assigned to the President of the First Lady?
Senator, the former president travels with a full shift, just like the president.
What's the so the exact same size? Is that your testimony that President Trump had the same size detail that President Biden has?
On the day of in Butler, the agents surrounding him, it is the same number of agents surrounding the president today. There is a difference between a sitting president who also not only
Hold on, you're using president in a way that is not clear. Is it your testimony that in Butler, Pennsylvania, Donald Trump had the same number of agents protecting him that Joe Biden has at a comparable event?
I'm telling you the shift, the close protection shift surrounding. Asked me, Senator, and I'm trying to answer it.
You are not answering it. Is it the same number of agents or not?
Senator, there is a difference between the sitting president of the United States.
Then what's the difference?
The difference?
2X, 3X, 5X,
National 10X. Command authority to launch a nuclear strike, sir.
Stop interrupting me.
Go ahead,
you
Senator.
You are refusing to answer clear and direct questions. I am asking the relative difference in the number of agents between those assigned to Donald Trump and those assigned to Joe Biden. I'm not asking why you assign more to Joe Biden. I'm asking, is the difference, is it 2X? Is it 3X? Is it 5X? Is it 10X?
Senator, I will get you that number so you can see it with your own eyes.
As if that rant from Cruz wasn't bad enough, at a Senate Republican press briefing, he sounded off again on the Secret Service and accused him of lying.
Thank you, Roger.
In Butler, Pennsylvania, we saw the worst and most catastrophic security failure of the Secret Service since 1981, the attempted assassination of Ronald Reagan. Now, to be clear, the line agents, the Secret Service agents who were protecting President Trump, they demonstrated remarkable bravery that day. They put their bodies between the shooter and President Trump at great risk. So this criticism is not directed at them, but it is directed at the political leadership of the Secret Service. Today, we had testimony from the deputy director of the FBI and the acting director of the Secret Service. And I will say, the Secret Service acting director, Roe, did marginally better than his predecessor. His predecessor, who has since resigned, approached this shooting with an effort to stonewall and obfuscate and refuse to answer any questions. We had an all-senators briefing that she was on where, if you listen to her, nothing went wrong and they did a fantastic job. She should have resigned the day of this shooting. She did not. She should have been fired the day of this shooting. She was not. Acting Director Roe at least acknowledged that their failure to secure the roof from where the shooter fired was indefensible. That being said, he continued the pattern we have seen from the Biden administration of stonewalling in this hearing. In the immediate wake of the shooting, the Secret Service official spokesperson sent out a tweet saying, "The Trump team never asked for additional security. We never denied them additional security. In fact, we gave them additional security." We now know that tweet is a lie. The person who sent it, the Secret Service spokesperson, still has his job. The acting director refused to answer whether he personally approved that tweet. He refused to answer whether the then director approved that tweet. We now know because the Washington Post broke the story, not because the Secret Service told it, but because the Washington Post broke the story that repeatedly President Trump's team and President Trump's detail asked for additional agents, additional counter snipers, additional equipment, and repeatedly the Secret Service said no. When I asked the acting director at the hearing how many times did they ask for additional protection, he didn't know the answer to that. When I asked how many times were they denied, he didn't know the answer to that. When I asked who denied it, he said he didn't know the answer to that. He couldn't answer if it was him, couldn't answer if it was the previous director. He started talking about, well, there's a committee and this committee goes to that committee. And it was a marvel of bureaucratic nonsense. Apparently, in the Biden Secret Service, the buck stops nowhere. Nobody has responsibility. I asked him, is the individual who denied additional coverage for President Trump the same individual who denied coverage for Robert F. Kennedy Jr.? It's utterly indefensible that RFK went months without Secret Service protection. His father was assassinated running for president. His uncle was assassinated when he was president. RFK Jr. had had multiple death attempts, and yet the Biden administration refused to give him Secret Service protection until after the attempted assassination of President Trump. I believe that decision was political. I believe that decision was partisan, and the political leadership of Secret Service understaffed the security detail of President Trump for the same reason they did not provide security to RFK Jr. There are obvious questions that need to be asked. Why were there not more agents assigned? When the shooter at 3 o'clock came through the magnetometer with a rangefinder, why was he not questioned? Why was he not detained? Today, the acting director said, well, it was a civilian rangefinder that you'd use on a golf course. Well, the last I checked, the guy wasn't there to play golf. There is no benign use for a rangefinder at that rally. And yet they didn't question him when he came in with a rangefinder, and they didn't question him 2.5 hours later when they saw him using the rangefinder to measure the distance to where the president was speaking. He provided no answer as to why the roof was not secured. He provided no answer as to why there was no aerial support, there were no drones, there were no helicopters. And he provided no answer as to why the local law enforcement they were relying on could not communicate with Secret Service. We now know that 1 minute and 57 seconds before the first shot was fired, bystanders spotted the shooter on the roof with a rifle. We've all seen the videos pointing out he has a gun. He's on the roof pointing it out to local law enforcement. That was 1 minute and 57 seconds before the first shot. If local law enforcement was able to speak to Secret Service, they would have pulled President Trump from the podium and he never would have been shot. And nobody else would have been killed. We also know that a local police officer climbed up to that roof to examine directly what was happening, and the shooter pointed his rifle at him. The local police officer ducked down, fell to the ground. That was 24 seconds before the first shot was fired. Presumably that officer has a radio, but the Secret Service hasn't told us that. Presumably with the radio, the instant he saw a gunman on the roof with a rifle, you would be in the radio saying, shooter, shooter, gun, gun. 24 seconds is a lot of time for a Secret Service detail to go and pull President Trump down. It's a lot of time for a counter sniper to take out that sniper. The only rational inference is that local police was not able to talk to Secret Service. And from their testimony today, they've done nothing to improve it. Now, another set of questions that I asked, what's the relevant size of President Trump's detail compared to Joe Biden's detail, compared to the First Lady's detail? Secret Service refused to answer that question. The obvious follow-up is, what is the relative threat level? How many threats are directed at Donald J. Trump? How many threats have been directed at President Biden? How many threats have been directed at the First Lady? Those are simple questions that require accountability. I hope and expect we will get them. But the critical question, and I want to underscore the call that has come from multiple senators for whistleblowers. I believe the rational inference from the evidence we know now is it was political bias at the top, at the leadership of the Secret Service, that led to insufficient agents and insufficient resources being devoted to protecting President Trump. And if it is true, we need to see on writing the discussion of why they didn't act sufficiently to keep the president safe.
And on Tuesday, this report comes out that shows a lack of communication between local police and the Secret Service on the day of the rally. Just gets stranger and stranger.
We are learning chilling new details about communication failures surrounding the assassination attempt against former President Donald Trump. Encrypted radio communications reportedly revealing a local counter-sniper actually warned they'd, quote, lost the gunman after they had sighted him with that rangefinder. Matt Finn is live at the Butler, Pennsylvania rally site with the latest on the investigation. Matt?
Emily, the acting director of the Secret Service now confirms that former President Trump's counter-sniper team did not have direct radio communication with local police here in Butler on the day of the shooting. And a new Washington Post report reveals just how poor communication was between federal and local agencies. According to encrypted radio transcripts, on July 13th at 5:42 p.m., a local counter-sniper here in PA said, just an FYI, we had a younger white male, long hair, lurking around the AGR building. He was viewed with a rangefinder sighting the stage. We lost sight of him. That message was apparently referencing the shooter, Thomas Crooks, who ultimately pulled off the near assassination of former President Trump while killing one man and injuring others. Now, there has been outcry over why no Secret Service workers have been publicly fired or suspended just yet. Here on the ground, I spoke with Republican Congressman Mike Kelly. This is his district in Western Pennsylvania, and he's on the special task force that is investigating the July 13th shooting.
American people have the right to know, and we have a tremendous responsibility to find out for them. I don't want to talk about innuendo or somebody said something to me or I got a secret note from somebody. We're going to do the deep dive that's necessary, the people that were actually on the ground, what they went through, and then how did you prepare for this?
And Congressman Kelly is urging everyone to take a breath because he promises that task force will come to this site, and he promises the country that everyone who needs to be held accountable will be. Emily.
Matt, thank you. Kaylee, we've been talking about this the whole time. The colossal communication failures keep piling up, and all it does is underscore the colossal leadership failure of the Secret Service.
No doubt. Emily, that Washington Post report was stunning. We had been saying we need the transcripts of the radio communications. Well, the Washington Post got them. So at 5:42 p.m., local law enforcement communicated there was a guy with a rangefinder. Fine, you use a rangefinder in golf. Fine, you use it in shooting. You don't use it at a Trump rally. The shooting took place at 6:11 p.m. So 30 minutes passed where there's this information about the rangefinder. Then we find out in this Washington Post report, the information was communicated into a command post that only contained local law enforcement. So what happened to what I've been told by Trump officials was the model for every single presidential event? You have a security center with the head of every law enforcement group in the same room. Did that not happen here? And then finally, we're told man with a gun, 30 seconds goes by, the message not communicated. Why? Because they didn't have enough time to call in on a cell phone. Why aren't you using radios? So many questions. Failure, to your point. Failure all the way around.
And you know, Harris, who didn't lose sight of him were all of those rally goers who had their cell phones trained on him and trying to get the attention of those in charge.
Yeah, we're supposed to see something, say something, but apparently when we say something, we don't get listened to. Mm. Yeah, that's not a good message. There's really only one question I have today for the leadership at the USSS. How many of the people that you're looking at who fell down on that day and where the failures actually happened are still on the job today, and what are they doing? Who are they protecting? I want to know where we have moved to with the people who are being most scrutinized. And do we have enough redundancy in our ranks to replace them while you finish your investigation? No, we don't, because you know what Kimberly Cheadle told us? They're 1,500 employees short under her watch. She knew she had positions to fill, so they were stretched. They were stretched. So even if they wanted to take some of these people out of the field, we don't have potentially the redundancy that we would need to keep people safe. And this isn't just about our candidates as president. These are about any of our elected leaders. We know that the enemy wants to cause chaos. And so they are targeting us. And we have enough enemies around the globe now. We don't need a piece of paper that says, well, today is Trump and Iran's day. It's everybody all day long.
That's right.
So get ready.
That's right. And Guy, focusing on this particular point, which I feel is so disturbing, and it's the erosion of the relationship between the Secret Service via leadership and local law enforcement, because President Biden doesn't leave the White House without the support and the dependence on local law enforcement who bravely and steadfastly support the Secret Service all throughout the country, every day, all day, with all the protectees. And here we have leadership that's just been throwing them under the bus and trying to blame them for their failures.
Yeah, I think the locals felt scapegoated unfairly in the very early days when the now erstwhile leader was trying to sort of cast blame everywhere but on herself and her own agency. And it's sort of amazing because every time some new development comes out involving this incident and the near murder of Donald Trump on national television, I keep waiting to have a sense of, oh, okay, now I sort of understand why that happened. And yet each new piece of information makes it more unbelievable, less understandable. It's shocking how many different levels of failure there were here. It's like he hid the gun in advance. He did the flyover with a drone in advance. They spotted him, what, an hour in advance. They lost sight of him and radioed in. And somehow Donald Trump was allowed on the stage. At every step, this should have been stopped, and it wasn't.
Near murder of Donald Trump and the actual murder of Corey Comportori, Carly. Yeah. And the other thing is, to everyone's points here, we need these answers right now, because right now there are many protectees under the protection of the Secret Service who thus far we've seen no leadership whatsoever made any change other than Cheadle.
It's so true. I feel like we have learned so much and nothing at all when it comes to what happened on July 13th. And when it comes to the communication issues between local police and Secret Service, you can't have everybody on the same radio channel, I am told, because that would be chaotic. But what you could do was have a local guy embedded with the Secret Service. So when they get the call, hey, we're seeing something suspicious, you could then communicate that much more effectively person to person with the Secret Service agent, who could then go check it out or alert the local, the immediate detail around former President Trump or anybody that the Secret Service is protecting. So that's one thing. The other thing is, we don't know anything about the shooter or a motive yet. And one of the reasons for that is because the social media is still encrypted. So I completely agree with Senator Lindsey Graham, who brought this up in the hearing last week when he said there is an answer that's sitting somewhere out there. And because these apps are still encrypted for a murderer, an assassin, he says, like, privacy to a point, but I mean, that is ridiculous.
Mm. And our enemies are watching all of this.
Yes, they mm-hmm. are.
They're like the Borg. They're learning.
Mm-hmm. Speaker McCarthy told us on Friday that when he and his excellent team land somewhere, his Secret Service hands their radio to the local law enforcement, so it ensures seamless communication. That's leadership.
Next week on The End of Innocence, The JFK Assassination, we'll get back to the reason that this podcast exists. Who, what, and why John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas on November 22, 1963. Next week, we start a new series. I will be answering questions from the hundreds and hundreds of emails that I have gotten recently. Next week, we'll try to answer these questions. Why did Lee Harvey Oswald leave the Texas School Book Depository building after the assassination of John Kennedy? And why would Lee Harvey Oswald have went to the Texas Theater? If you like what you hear every week and want to learn more about the assassination, please pick up my book, The End of Innocence, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's available right now on Amazon, and it's on sale. Or you can find it at www.endofinnocencejfk.com. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. Please email any questions you would like for us to cover in a future podcast. Like I stated earlier, we're going to do a new segment on the podcast where we answer listeners' questions that have emailed in to me. So get your questions ready and we'll try to answer them the best we can. We'll see you next week.